Dave and Darren with the Top 5 Things podcast. A jaunty review of what we got done on our morning show on Planet 93.9. Hello, everybody. I'm Dave.
Hi, and this one makes me Darren.
And that's Darren, and that's the whole show.
And we did it for the show.
Can you believe all these years we've never added anyone else to the show? Although, how could we?
There's been a couple tertiary characters.
Well, that's true. That's true. I listen to a lot of the morning shows that have had a lot of success, and I think the key to their success is they have like 12 people on the show. That's never really been something that we've attempted or had an opportunity to do either. We're glad that you're here because you are the most important part of this. Thanks for downloading and subscribing, and now you're listening to it. We have a real treat for you today, and we're going to get started here with...
Well, number one.
Number one.
I went to look at the leaderboard for the John Deere Classic.
And?
Oh, yeah. It said Lucas Glover's 19 under. Like, wait a minute.
19 under?
Yeah, well, that was last year.
Was that? Did he win?
Yeah, he won. Lucas Glover won last year.
Well, there you go.
FanDuel has the three dark horse picks
uh-huh.
to win the John Deere Classic. Now, I just made a bunch of investments during the commercial break. I feel great about all
contributions.
Of them. Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, like 35-1 odds.
Well, that's the thing about betting golf.
A couple of shekels, and you're right in it. It's a big field, so who knows?
Yeah.
But I took all of your advice, and I placed a couple of, you know... Uh-huh. Made some little tiny investments that could grow into some big money. These are the dark picks that they have, the dark horse picks at FanDuel.
Okay.
Chez Reavy.
Okay.
50-1.
Yeah.
It says here driving accuracy is most strongly aligned statistics with success for the past dozen years at TPC Deer Run.
Yeah.
And that's his strength, ranking top five on tour and hitting better than 70% fairways. They also have a Doug Gim down here at 54-1.
Yeah.
He's getting some respect in the betting market despite some struggles in the past 2 months. Tied for 18th at the Canadian Open. And then Ryan Moore.
Yep.
Ryan Moore's going off at 80-1. It says here TPC Deer Run has been a strong course fit for the 39-year-old former amateur champ and four-time college All-American.
Mm-hmm.
He won the event in 2016 and finished tied for second last year. And tied for 18th in 2019.
He likes the course.
So a guy who finished tied for second last year is going off at 80-1?
There you go. Bad.
Wait a minute. Give me that. Turn those machines back on. Give me that. I feel good. I'm locked in now.
Good.
I'm done. I'm not making any more investments. Although I have some questions about some of these prop bets. What is the mythical two balls? What does that mean?
Mythical two balls?
Well, I'm looking here at some of the live betting you can do, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a foursome that just went off, and it says first round three balls, and then you can bet first round mythical two balls, no tie. So like Tyler Duncan versus Brendan Todd. Tyler Duncan's plus 100, Brendan Todd is minus 130, and it says, first round, mythical two balls, no tie.
Mythical two balls.
Mythical two balls. That was my nickname in high school, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I had fun. 7:49 with Dave and Darren in the morning.
That would be interesting if you can do that live betting where you're basically saying on a particular hole, who's going to have a better score.
That's what this is.
What'll be interesting is if people are doing that out at the tournament and like hooting and hollering after every hole.
Right. Hank, I just put 50 bucks on you to sink this putt.
Yeah, I mean, so someone misses a putt and you're like, yeah!
Come on, Lee Hodges. I need you to drain this. You know, and I don't know if this is a character flaw, but there's few things I find more wonderful than awkward situations that don't involve me directly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I enjoy this subreddit so much, where people feel like maybe they've misbehaved and they want a ruling from The court of public opinion.
Some moral clarity.
Right. This one is... Mm-hmm. Am I a jerk for walking out in the middle of my husband's birthday dinner? See, a lot of...
Well, we're going to need more information.
Right now, with only this information, I'm going to say, yeah, that was a dumb thing to do.
Ain't I something?
She writes, my husband, he's 30 and I'm 27. My husband and I have been together for 3 years, and we've been married for 5 months.
Okay.
Our relationship has been without any problems.
So this is the first opportunity to have a birthday dinner while you're as married people.
As man and wife, yes.
Okay.
We've been together for 3 years, married for 5 months. Our relationship has been without any problems until the week before our wedding.
Hmm.
My husband was very close friends with a woman. Let's call her Ava. He's known Ava since they were sophomores in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had a problem with Ava. I thought it was very obvious that she and my husband are just friends. I mean, she had a long-term boyfriend and all. I felt no jealousy or anything.
Okay.
And I actually got along with Ava pretty well. We hung out together regularly. But then my husband dropped a bombshell on me the week before we got married.
Uh-oh.
He sat me down and told me Ava revealed to him that she has feelings for him, and she tried to convince him not to get married to me.
Oh, boy.
She even broke up with her boyfriend of 6 years prove how serious she was about my husband.
That is a bombshell.
My husband and I both agreed we needed to cut her off. We uninvited her to our wedding,
yeah,
and neither of us has been in contact with her since.
Okay.
It was my husband's 30th birthday yesterday. He just wanted to have dinner with family and friends, so that's what we did.
Yep.
So we're all in the restaurant eating when all of a sudden, Ava walks in.
Just by coincidence,
She walks up to the table and says she didn't mean to intrude, that she was just getting dinner by herself, and then she saw us. She wishes my husband a happy birthday.
Uh-huh.
I expect her to leave, but then
my
husband asks if she'd like to join us.
Oh, brother.
I look at my husband like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm visibly uncomfortable and irritated. And I stand up and I tell Ava, look, you can have my seat. And then I walk out and I get an Uber home because I want absolutely nothing to do with her. My husband comes home almost 2 hours later, immediately starts an argument with me, telling me I overreacted and acted immaturely. I ask him, why did he ask Ava to eat with us? Because I thought we were on the same page here.
Yeah.
He replies he was just being nice, and he didn't think it would be a big deal because it's been a long time since he's seen her, so she probably doesn't have feelings for him anymore. Then he tells me that I ruined his birthday. I'm still upset about this. I don't think I'm the one that's wrong. I mean, this woman literally tried to steal my husband. So am I the jerk?
What's the advice that she receives?
Well, a lot of people, everyone is suggesting, of course you're not the jerk. It also seems pretty strange that this woman just happens to be at the restaurant.
And she's going
to
be dining alone.
Mm-hmm. Someone's saying, you said it was a family dinner. Maybe your husband didn't tip her off. Maybe it was one of his family members.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, it's an inside job.
It could very well be.
Calls are coming from inside the family.
Inside the house.
No!
It's someone. I mean, if he's known her since sophomore in high school,
Right. Then
the family knows her probably, clearly, right?
Right. She's been a friend forever.
She's been a friend forever, so there are family members, maybe more than one, that prefer her over you.
Someone says, I'd like to give your husband the benefit of the doubt and just say he's dumb.
Yeah.
To invite a woman that tried to talk him out of marrying you to sit at your table. Maybe he felt pressured because family and friends that knew her but didn't know why she was uninvited to the wedding were present. But he didn't stop you from walking out. He didn't go after you.
Yeah.
He didn't call or text to check on you. He stayed out
for two hours. Extra hours.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the red flag. And you add to the nearly unbelievable coincidence of being at that restaurant and she was alone.
Uh-huh.
You know the kind of woman that would go eat out alone. Very few people feel comfortable doing that. And would rather order take home. You might want to reconsider your marriage.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy is right.
Well?
I just happened to be eating by myself. Oh, I was treating myself to a birthday meal. I always like to celebrate your birthday. I love you so much. Yeah. It is weird.
Yeah, what if she said that?
Mm-hmm.
I was just here to celebrate your birthday.
I wanted it. I knew this was our favorite restaurant. Okay. Yeah, this marriage is doomed. But see,
here's the tough truth, man.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. That's the biggest red flag.
Before you have any kids.
Mm-hmm. The fact that he didn't jump out of his seat and say, hey, hang on a second.
Yeah, right.
I can ask her to leave or at least text you like, hey, I'm sorry.
Just watch. Watch. I'm going to kick her right in the ass. Watch.
Number two.
We've got two different Florida man stories for you here.
Damn. Florida.
Which one's more Florida, I suppose? Because they're both pretty awful. We begin with a pastor arrested for allegedly masturbating outside a Starbucks. Ingenio Dali Muniz Colon, 39 years old, taken into custody this week and charged with exposure of sexual organs. The Osceola County Sheriff's Office said that he was a pastor in Kissimmee and he teaches online ministry classes. Authorities have been investigating ever since they got a report of a man masturbating on a patio outside the Starbucks in May.
You're going to do that around hot coffee, huh? Okay.
Doesn't seem like the best idea. Deputies said they eventually identified him as the suspect and determined he'd previously been charged with a similar incident at the exact same Starbucks. What? Authorities didn't provide any further details about the pastor's prior arrest. He was booked in the county jail on a $1,000 bond.
Cream and sugar, are you sweet enough already?
This guy's into some very particularly peculiar stuff. He likes what he likes. Then there's the story of a Florida man who passed himself off as a Disney World cast member so that he could steal a $10,000 R2-D2 droid.
You could probably relate to this, can't you?
Well, they're not cheap. If you want the R2-D2, it's $10,000. David Proudfoot facing grand theft charges and a charge of obstruction by false information. We pick up the news here from Fox 35 in Orlando.
The mite here in Central Florida has been arrested after deputies say he posed as a Disney cast member and then stole a Star Wars R2-D2 droid. Deputies say that this man, 44-year-old David Proudfoot of Kissimmee, wanted to get a job on the Disney security team. So he was trying to, quote, show weaknesses in the security of the resorts.
Okay.
Proudfoot faces multiple charges, including grand theft.
I was just trying to sure stuff up.
Yeah, I didn't want the R2-D2. I was deep undercover, you see.
Uh-huh.
This was...
this was for your benefit.
The Orange County Sheriff's Office says the deputies were called to the hotel by Disney security when they arrived. They talked to this guy who was wearing beige work pants and an orange vest with a Disney name tag. He identified himself as David Rogers. That's not his name. His name is David Proudfoot. He said he worked at the receiving division at the Yacht Club Resort. He does not. Disney security stopped this guy because he looked suspicious. Sure does. He was pushing a cart on the property. Officer offered to help him with the cart and says he appeared confused as to how to get to the loading dock and what the hotel's proper procedures are, which, you know, you would know if you were in charge of loading stuff into the hotel. He told deputies part of his job was to move items from one location to the other, and that his boss's name was James McDaniels. Security say they have no record of anyone named David Rogers working for Disney, and that James McDaniels actually works in California. Deputy escorted Proudfoot to the Yacht Club Resort to retrieve his belongings and a driver's license from the employee lockers. But Proudfoot appeared to be lost and confused and couldn't get the locker open.
All right, if you're going to take me home, that's fine, but I got my stuff in the locker. I'm going to go get that stuff.
Okay, let's go get your stuff.
How's this thing work?
Oh, man, I can't get my locker open. That's weird.
Do you push or pull? I think you can do both.
That's when the deputy noticed that, you know, they were there in the locker room to get his wallet and his ID. The deputy noticed, hey, wait a minute. It looks like you have your wallet on you. What's that in your pocket? He pulled out the wallet and showed the ID that revealed his real name. Proudfoot admitted to moving an R2-D2 droid from the third floor of the hotel to an unknown location and a game machine because he had an application for a security job and wanted to show the weaknesses in the security of the resorts in the hope of getting a better-paying job at Walt Disney World. He told the deputy he had no intention of taking R2-D2 off the property. I'm telling you, he absolutely did.
I was just going to hold him for ransom.
I got to tell you, I've seen this $10,000 R2-D2.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. I don't know how they get away with charging $10,000 for it. There's another one, too, that they sell that's $25,000. And the $25,000 one basically does all of the stuff that the one on the movies does.
You know, it'd be a good birthday present for you. You got a big birthday coming up.
I do.
You're going to be a champ.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have R2-D2 jukeboxes?
So, like, R2-D2 would play the music?
Plays music.
I'm certain that I've seen an R2-D2 Bluetooth speaker.
No, I'm not talking about that.
So the
talking about the actual size.
Mm-hmm.
Actual size R2-D2, oh. But it's a jukebox.
Oh, my gosh, they do.
What do they want
Look
for
that? Look at how heavenly that is. Oh, that looks fantastic.
Exactly.
Oh, that's exactly what I want.
What do they want for that?
Mm.
I mean, maybe we can all pitch in.
Where the hell am I going to put a jukebox? That's the last thing I need.
Well, down in your Star Wars corner.
No, the Star Wars room has too much Star. I took a bunch of Star Wars off the walls because I decided it's too much Star Wars.
I wonder if the R2-D2 jukebox plays anything other than just...
just beeps and boops?
What was it, Miko?
That's a pretty great version of the song. Yeah, here's another R2-D2 jukebox, but this is... No, that looks stupid. The legs don't look right on that. What are you doing?
So we show up with that and you're going to spit in our face?
You're damn right I will. It's like you guys don't know me at all. My wife asked me, because I do have a big birthday coming up, my wife asked me if I wanted a surprise party. And I had to explain to her.
I think that's just good planning.
Well, because this is what she said. And you know me as well as anybody.
Uh-huh.
She said, do you want like some sort of surprise party when your birthday happens in the fall? Yeah. And I said, if you can't tell me if you're going to have a surprise party, then there's no surprise party. And she says, no, I need to tell you, because otherwise, for the next couple of months, you'll be moping around like, you're not doing anything for my birthday.
Do you remember my big blowout for my 50th?
You didn't have one. Did you? Was I not invited? Did you have one and I wasn't invited? I remember your 40th.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your last birthday party, your 40th?
Well, I mean, I've had a birthday dinner.
Well, that's nice. That seems like a grown-up thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as a party goes?
Yeah. I don't... Honestly, I think the last time I had a birthday party, I was 11.
Nice!
When would I have it?
What did you guys go to, the main event?
In Bettendorf? Oh, you're talking about the movie.
The movie.
No.
You wouldn't have been in Bettendorf when you were 11.
No, I didn't know it existed when I was 11. No, when we went to movies, those were always other kids' birthday parties.
Oh.
We would at my birthday parties, they would rent a VHS tape. We didn't have to take a bunch of other kids to the movie money at my house. Are you crazy?
What about this?
Yeah.
How about this? We could do this. So it's something that's still very nice. But not too big.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I don't want you guys worrying about being too big for this birthday. I don't want that to be a consideration. If you think it's too big, don't worry about that.
I got two words for you.
Yeah.
Happy Joes.
No, that's no.
Huh?
No, I'm going to put the kibosh on that idea for my birthday. No, thanks.
See, I never got one of those as a kid.
Neither did you. No.
So there's shows where... we can. It's not too late, mm-hmm. and everyone gets something to eat,
mm-hmm.
and we go home, and not make too big a deal out of this.
We went to there was some kid's birthday party at a Shakey's that I remember going to.
See,
and I remember thinking this is the greatest place in the world because they always had the Three Stooges on.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they had a television that was just always showing
Stooges. That's what we could recreate at Happy Joe's.
Uh huh. Well, if you can get the Three Stooges on the TV, maybe I'm interested.
I don't know that we can get it on their TV, but we could bring like a little tiny something that has the Three Stooges playing.
It seems like this is what you're doing. This is the pattern now with these birthday plans of yours.
What's that?
You promise something big, and then you instantly scale it down before me.
Well, we're going to do it at lunch.
Lunch?
Yeah. Like early lunch, like 11.
You want it over by like noon?
We're done by noon.
Oh, I don't like that plan.
And then you're off to go do whatever you want to do. You got the rest of the day. It's your day. It's your big day, and your obligations are over by noon.
Okay.
Then you can go do whatever you want.
This seems more like a birthday party that you would want.
Play in the sprinkler or something. I don't know.
Number three.
It's going to be 4th of July weekend before you know it.
Kabam!
Yes. Injuries from popular 4th of July activities are on the rise. I have yet to see it every year. And it's got to be either tonight or in the next couple of days. The news loves to show you.
The blowing up of the watermelon?
They blow up watermelons to explain just how deadly these things are if they're left in your hands. Terry! Terry, move your wheelchair! Terry! Terry! The two bits of video that I love the most, and they make both holidays all the more merry. Every Christmas, they show the Christmas tree that goes up in flames, and every 4th of July, there's a mannequin that gets his hand blown off, followed by a shot of a watermelon exploding. As sure as you're born, that footage is coming, and once I see it, puts me in the right headspace to celebrate our nation's independence. With the 4th of July weekend approaching, millions of us will barbecue, swim, and set off fireworks.
Where will you be swimming this summer?
My in-laws have a pool.
Hmm. Hmm.
It says here heat-related deaths increased 56% between 2018 and last year. Americans aged 85 and older and babies are the most at-risk groups for heat injury and death.
Yeah, 2 days in a row I've seen people at like 3:30.
Yeah.
When it's the hottest.
Yeah.
A stroller out with a baby in it.
If it's a quick walk, you're fine maybe, but it seems weird. Firework injuries from 2012 to 2021 are up 32%. Teenagers have the highest percentage of firework injuries. Last year, almost 13% of firework injuries were teenagers. There was one 4th of July. I had one go off in my hand, and I wasn't supposed to be doing them. And it was like ladyfingers. And it went off in my hand to the point where I had such a ringing in my ear that I convinced myself. I was like 12.
Uh-huh.
I convinced myself.
I'm deaf.
I'm deaf now. And now the only thing I have to do is figure out how to pass myself off as being able to hear for the next 6 or 7 years so my parents don't find out.
Right.
And that ringing.
I'm going to need to start reading lips like now.
I got to walk in that house.
And start reading
and
lips.
And act like everything's cool. And I think I can pull this off.
What's that you said?
Grill injuries requiring an emergency room visit are up 18%. From 2012 until last year. It says here, children younger than 10 accounted for 21% of ER visits for grill injuries.
Is anybody else's ears ringing?
Maybe don't have your 9-year-old working the grill. That seems like a mistake. And a lack of pool safety awareness is putting Americans at a greater risk of drowning. 39% of us say that we would be comfortable save someone who was struggling in the water. Hmm.
Struggling.
Yeah, in the shallow end.
What percentage of Americans would you guess say they don't know how to swim?
Don't know how to swim.
All Americans. What is the percentage of Americans that say they don't know how to swim? I'm shocked to see this number.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means it's higher than you think.
It's certainly higher than I would have thought. Maybe you have more of a grasp for these sort of things. I don't know that I know anybody who doesn't know how to swim.
I'm going to say it's 39%.
No, it's actually 17%. But that seems incredibly high to me.
Okay, so we had asked this before.
Yeah?
17% of people say they can't swim.
17% of Americans say they don't know how to swim.
And then I guess when we were asking adults, 13% of people have not flown on an airplane.
Right.
So what percentage of people don't know how to swim and have never been on an airplane?
That would be a fascinating Venn diagram to take a look at.
We're talking about
American adults who've never been on a plane
and don't know how to swim.
And can't swim. Boy, that's...
Can you imagine if that's the case, then there you win a trip to Hawaii? You're like, oh.
Consider yourself zing.
Yeah.
There's a... Oh, there's people would be thrilled with the proposition of winning such a thing.
We're sending you to the new Tiki Tiki Water Park
in Hawaii.
In Maui.
Oh. You mean on a plane?
Oh, what do I do when I get there?
How do I act?
17% of Americans say they don't know how to swim. Crazy. The tips they say for staying safe this fourth: stay hydrated.
How many people are lying?
About not being able to swim?
Yeah.
Who would lie about that?
Well, I'm just asking. People say I can't swim. Well, anyone can say they can't swim.
I don't know that that's something you would lie about.
That's what makes it so devious.
I would think it would be more... I would be more apt to lie to say that I could swim if I couldn't.
That's what
I'd be embarrassed if I didn't know how to swim.
But it would be... That's what makes it so devious. That saying that you don't know
the
how
Machiavellian
to swim.
Nature of these non-swimmers, it's baffling.
Uh-huh.
They say avoid binge drinking to prevent serious heat injury this 4th of July weekend. How about you let me worry about that, keeping myself cool?
How about I binge drink inside?
Avoid binge drinking this 4th of July weekend. How about you mind your own business? How I celebrate our independence. How dare you? Recognize the signs of heat injury and seek prompt medical help. They say be careful when you handle a hot grill. Don't let your kids or your pets near the grill. Yeah. Don't let anyone in the pool unsupervised. They say that you should serve alcohol responsibly.
Don't let anyone in the pool wearing sweatpants.
Also, data here that suggests the 4th of July... is particularly brutal on your phone.
What do you mean?
They have what they call the summer surge. People that work in tech that repair phones
say
that
the
4th of July is their busiest. The day after the 4th of July is their busiest.
Your phone is getting beaten up or mistreated somehow.
They say the most dangerous day of the year for phones is, in fact, July 4th.
Huh.
Followed by Memorial Day and Labor Day for some reason. 48% more phone accidents happen on the 4th of July than any other day of the year.
Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
It's going to get splashed upon or blown up.
A lot of them are swelling in water-related phone issues.
Yeah.
There's a 10% tick in cracked screens on the 4th of July, and a 65%
surge
in unrecoverable phones.
Uh-huh.
That's like at the bottom of a lake or dropped off a cliff or something along those lines. A lot of waterlogged tablets, e-readers, and laptops in the summer months. But yeah, the 4th of July, they say, is the most dangerous day of the year for your phone. No matter what, no phone is waterproof. A lot of today's phones might be water resistant, meaning they can resist water penetration to some degree. But if you go swimming with them, Don't do
you
that.
Yeah, if you got some drinks in you and all of a sudden you jump in the pool and, I had my phone with me.
Oh, I didn't think that through. They say if your phone does take a plunge, skip the rice.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you're supposed to do. I thought you're supposed to put it in a bag with rice. They say while the rice can draw out some of the water, it leaves behind water vapor, which can cause the internal components to corrode over time.
So what are you supposed to do? Just let it dry out.
So this is what I do. Whenever you get anytime you buy anything and it has one of those silica gel packets,
yes,
don't throw those out.
Uh-huh.
I have a drawer in my toolbox that's just silica gel packets.
Gotcha.
And then when your phone gets wet, you throw it in there, and that will draw it out. But that's a short-term solution. Mm-hmm. They say you really ought to bring it in as soon as you can. And it also matters what type of water it is. Like dropping into the pool versus dropping into the ocean.
Or the toilet.
Right. Right. They say take added precautions for the 4th of July. Add alternate contact information to your lock screen to triple your chances of having a lost phone returned to you. So, like, you have a picture on your phone, on your lock screen. Replace that picture with, like, a note that says, here's how to get a hold of me if you find this phone.
Oh. Okay.
If your phone needs to be repaired, there's plenty of places you can go and do that. But know this, if you're going on July 5th, you're not going to be the only one taking your phone in. It's the most busy dangerous day of the year.
Well, I guess they're not looking forward to that.
Nope. Well, I mean, if you're in the phone repair business, you probably are looking forward to it. It's like you're, you know.
This is where we make our nut.
This is how we keep the doors open. Exactly.
Number four.
Get a little extra in your paycheck is always nice. But there's a guy down in Chile who got the what they're calling the bump of a lifetime.
Yeah.
This guy works at a place called Conasuro Industrial de Almiatos. It's a place that makes cold cuts.
Okay.
Chilean cold cuts? Got a paycheck, usually of 500,000 Chilean pesos. And it was a direct deposit right into his account. 500,000 Chilean pesos works out to about $555. That's what he normally got.
Uh-huh.
But on his most recent pay period, there was some sort of screw-up in the company's HR department, and he got a check for, instead of $555,
yeah,
the check ended up being worth $183,593.
I'll take it.
So, this guy goes to the manager to say, hey, I got overpaid. And that's how the HR error was discovered.
Mm-hmm.
The
because you're not going to let me keep this anyway,
right,
are you?
Right. Well, he's doing the right thing, I suppose. And the company says, okay, here's what you do. You need to go to your bank and have them return the money to us.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You need to go to the bank to initiate the return of the money that we overpaid you.
And what if I
don't? We overpaid you.
And what if I don't?
We overpaid you by a factor of 330 times, right? I mean, that's... He said, okay, I will go tomorrow to my bank and I will have them return the money. He did go to the bank. But what he did not do is return the money.
Mm-hmm. What did he... I'll take it in cash?
He then 3 days later, they're calling him and calling him saying, hey, where are you at? He's not coming to work. And then he gets the company gets a message from a lawyer that this guy has hired. And the lawyer is calling into the company to say, on behalf of my client, I'm offering his resignation. And now, now no one at this company has seen or heard from this guy.
Yeah.
He has disappeared.
Vanished.
Mm-hmm. The company has now filed a complaint charging the worker with misappropriation of funds, hoping to recover some of the lost money, but so far no arrests. Average worker takes home about $1,000 a month. So, in Chile, they say. So, this is a huge windfall down there. It'd be a huge windfall up here. But yeah, I'm not coming back to make cold cuts. I've retained a counsel, and my decision is I will be...
is final.
I will be retiring from the cold cut concern. It was a lot of fun. No need to throw me a retirement party.
No.
I'll
buy my own gold watch. Thank you.
Thank you. It's made out of cold cuts. Look, I made a baloney watch for myself. Aren't I something else? This is the kind of thing you can do when you have stupid money like I do. completely vanished from the face of the earth. That is life-altering money. And yeah, that would be, it says here, if you figure it out, that's like getting 27 and a half years worth of pay all on one check.
Mm-hmm. This would be a good time for that.
Yeah, I've decided I'm going to allow it. I'm going to. What you need to do is leave Chile.
Number five.
There's a guy that has an old doll that he swears is haunted. A 119-year-old doll named Janet.
Damn it, Janet.
And he claims that this doll blinks, throws itself off of a shelf, and it's capable of giving people chest pains. No thanks. That's all. No, no thank you. Nope. Janet has blinked and thrown herself off a shelf, and when you're around her for too long, she'll give you chest pains. Guy's name is Mickey York. He's the owner. He's also a paranormal investigator. He previously kept the doll locked away in his shed. Okay, well, that's
you maybe, locked her up in the shed?
That's maybe not the best idea. He recently decided to bring Janet out of her box and display her in his home office, despite his family's wishes.
Don't do it.
You're not bringing Janet out of the shed, are you? That doll's 119 years old.
She's already here.
He says, I decided to bring Janet out just to see what would happen. And since she's been on display in my office, I regularly walk in and find her on the floor, and there's no way she could have fallen off. I am trying to communicate with Janet, he says, through a spirit box to find out why she's constantly jumping off the shelf. No thanks.
I've got to know.
What is your deal, doll? He says, I've had Janet since 2016, and usually she's kept locked away because she brings such bad feelings to people when they are around her. Would you look at this thing?
Oh, no.
That's, you ever looked into a doll's eyes? It's got like a doll's eyes. What are you doing?
Makes all the sense in the world.
What are you talking about, Quint? You ever really looked at a doll's eyes, though? Kind of creepy. He says, quote, she's definitely not welcomed by my family. Since having her, a lot has happened. There was a moment when Janet was captured blinking on camera, which is strange because this doll doesn't have any eyes. That's weird.
Well, I'll tell you this. When the doll starts winking, you better stop drinking.
Or start. He says, I've also had friends around Janet who have had to walk away because they started to feel chest pains and feeling sick. And whenever I'm working with Janet, I feel sick. She is not well-liked and people hate her. Janet used to belong to a woman in Texas, and after her owner passed away, the family wanted to get rid of the doll as they couldn't stand having her around. They heard footsteps in the house, and it gave them a terrible feeling, so they gave the doll away to this guy after coming across him online. You know you could just throw the doll away, right? Like, if you think it's some sort of evil doll, no evil doll can withstand the landfill. Why would you give something that you think...
withstand the landfill.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
One of my kids started walking around and giving me heart attacks.
Yeah.
I would throw that away, no problem. I wouldn't find someone else to take the doll. What are you doing? He says, when I first got Janet in 2016, I was so excited. I knew there must be something serious about her because the family didn't want any money for her. They really wanted to get rid of her. She had no name when I first got her, and I discovered that her name was Janet through a spirit box session. Okay. I asked for her name, and the spirit that's attached to the doll told me that her name was Janet. Janet and Mickey have been tense. Apparently the relationship has been tense despite his best intentions. He says she's sworn at me before when I communicated with her through the spirit box.
She swears at you.
You should hear the mouth on that doll. You ever looked at a doll's mouth? It's like a doll's mouth.
Yeah, that's all accurate.
He says, I don't know too much about her other than there is a print of her back that says 1903, and I think that the spirit attracted is a child that can't see out because she hasn't got any eyes. Janet also has teeth, which he says are really spooky. But despite this, he has been spending more and more time with his haunted doll.
Razor sharp teeth.
You ever looked into a doll's teeth? It's like a shark's tooth. This I would like to see. Quint just equating everything with a doll to be like a shark. I was on the USS Indianapolis. Dolls started swimming up to us as soon as we went into water.
Well, there's a problem.
Saw a friend of mine. I thought he was sleeping. The dolls ate his lower bottom. No distress signal was sent. He says, I got into paranormal investigating after seeing about it on TV shows. I wanted to see if it was real, so I went down to my local cemetery to try it out, and I never looked back. I can't wait to see what other experiences I have with Janet in the future. Was Janet even a name 103 years ago? Seems like a very...
Seems more recent.
Like a very 20th century name, right? Do people name their kids Janet anymore? The name Janet means God is gracious or a gift from God.
Hmm.
Janet is the feminine form of John.
Hmm.
Hmm. It's a variation of the French proper noun Jeanette. Well, my mom's Jeanette. I guess that is an old name. But I'm looking here at, there are Janets from before 103 years ago. I guess that makes sense. I would just say,
burn that thing.
There's no reason to have this thing.
There's no reason not to burn it.
Burn it! Burn it or...
Burn it.
Or...
Burn it just, down to the stump.
Just take it to the mall and throw it in their garbage. And then they put it in a dumpster and you never have to see it again. Don't throw it out in your garbage. Because then she'll be able to find her way back if she makes her way back from the landfill. You gotta distract her. Take her on a long car ride with lots of different unnecessary turns. Don't go straight to the place you're taking her.
Burn it.
Take her to the landfill. Yeah, exactly. And
chop it up and burn it.
Exactly. What's the matter with you? Well, the spirit box told me her name was Janet.
Or sleep with it. What do I care?
Yeah, or let this thing kill
you. Or just, you know, just...
You know, if you want to die from a heart attack you got from a haunted doll, that's none of my business.
Put it under your knees while you sleep. I don't care. It's a matter to me. It's a hunk of rags.
Who's your favorite Janet of all time?
Well, probably from Three's Company.
Janet Wood! Good work! That's excellent. I also would have accepted American Olympic champion swimmer Janet Evans.
Yeah, I like Janet Evans. And then
Janet Lee.
Janet Lee.
Right? From, she's in Psycho, right?
Go take a shower.
Yeah, right? And of course, former Attorney General of the United States, Janet Reno, I would have accepted.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's Janet Reno inside that doll?
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren.
That was something else.
Top five things. You know, it really was. I got an alert, by the way. And I'm not sure what this means.
Uh-huh.
I got an alert that we're in the top 200 for podcasts.
What does that mean?
In the comedy category in Colombia.
Nice.
For whatever reason, the Colombians love us.
Next to it.
I know, right? So thank you to all of our listeners in Colombia who have put us in the top 200. It's an honor. You'll never know what an honor it is. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more soon.
Yeah, I think that's the proper thing to say.
And the June patron show we'll have for you sometime next week.
Yeah,
if it'll, you are
it'll
a patron.
It'll be like a June spectacular.
Oh, it's magnificent. Till we get a chance to do it for you, then hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island. Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Great show, everybody. Great show.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.